Hello and welcome into the Heat Check Sim Show with your host, The Real Sim Shady. I'm really excited to bring you today's episode. We've got the Season 6 March Madness Bracket Reveal. I'm really excited to be able to provide this for you guys. It's just going to be me again this time, same as last Season 5's Bracket Reveal. And just another note before we get going, I'm also not going to touch on bracketology or conference tournament results in this one. By the time the pod comes out, I'm hoping or I'm kind of banking on the fact that the conference tournament results will be released. I was told by Eli that he will be releasing them this afternoon. So you should have access to all the conference tournament results. So I'm not going to provide any kind of coverage on those or any breakdown of those. And same goes for the bracketology. There's kind of a weird schedule for myself this weekend, and so wasn't able to coordinate that in time. So I believe that the bracketology from South Dakota State's head coach, Matt Evans, will be available shortly after Eli releases the conference tournament results. So you should have the ability to look at that before or while you're listening to this episode to give you an idea of kind of where your team stands heading into this episode. So I apologize for, you know, not, you know, providing that context leading into the bracket reveal or anything like that. But, you know, just that's just kind of the way it worked out this time around. I, you know, hope to be able to incorporate that again in future bracket reveal episodes. But again, you should have access to all that information regardless. So maybe this will work out just as well, if not better. So that was just kind of what I wanted to know before we get going. So and then just again, the kind of agenda that will follow similar to the past. I'm going to reveal the number one seeds first, and then I will reveal the bracket, you know, matchup by matchup for each region. I'll provide a little bit of first insights on the matchups as we go, and then following the full bracket reveal, I'll start on the conference breakdown, how many multi-bid conferences there were, things like that, and then I'll provide a little bit of a breakdown on the regions, and then I also did something a little newer this time. I looked at the toughest paths to the Final Four for the 1 and 2 seeds, so the teams that most likely would make the Final Four. I looked at who has the most difficult path to get there, and so I'll share my findings there, and then finally I'll end it with my picks for the Final Four and for the national champion. So now that I've kind of set it up, let's get into the number one seeds for the Season 6 March Madness bracket. So the overall number one seed this year is North Carolina. They earned the automatic bid out of the ACC. They have a strength of roster of number one in the country, so it's no surprise to see them earning this bid. They have a record of 29-2. Their only losses coming on the road at Georgia Tech and at home against Louisville, who is ranked number two at the time. So certainly no bad losses there. They also have some fantastic wins along the way. They've beaten UNLV, Utah, Arizona, Maryland, Wake Forest, and Louisville. All of those teams were ranked at the time they beat them. They finished really strong in the ACC. They also won the ACC conference tournament. And then just a little bit of background on their roster makeup. They have three freshmen, one sophomore, one junior, and three seniors. So, the last ride for those seniors, but they still have, plenty coming back potentially next year, depending on, you know, draft, declarations and things like that. But, definitely have some key pieces coming back next year. The number two overall seed in this bracket comes from the Midwest region, and it is your Michigan State Spartans out of the Big Ten. They earned an automatic bid. They won the Big Ten tournament. They finished with a record of 26-5 this season, and their strength of roster is number two in the sim. So again, no surprise here. They finished, like I said, 26-5. Their five losses were to Connecticut, Georgia, Utah, Nebraska and Ohio State. The first three of those that I just listed were all ranked at the time of those defeats. And then they have ranked wins over Arizona, Minnesota, Iowa, and Michigan. So very strong resume. Again, they finished 26-5. They will head into March Madness as the overall number two seed. Next up, we have the number three overall seed out of the West region, and it is the Arizona Wildcats. They are the automatic bid from the Pac-12 after they won the Pac-12 tournament. They finished the season with a record of 27-4, and they have a strength of roster of three. So again, this is one, two, and three so far in terms of strength of roster have earned the one seeds. Again, their four losses, they came at the hands of North Carolina, Michigan State, and Oregon, and Georgia. So sorry, Georgia, North Carolina, Michigan State, and Oregon. So, they lost to, like I said, Michigan State and North Carolina, who are one seeds. So then their only other two are Georgia and Oregon. So, no bad losses there, certainly. And then they have ranked wins over Monmouth, Oregon, Washington, Cal, and Utah as well. So really strong resume as well for them. And then just their roster makeup really quick. They have five freshmen on this team, one sophomore, two seniors. And I'm going to go back. I skipped over the roster makeup for Michigan State just real quick. Their roster makeup, two freshmen, two sophomores, one junior, and three seniors. So that's Michigan State's roster makeup. Arizona's, like I said, is the five freshmen, one sophomore, and two seniors. So they have a ton of youth, but still were stout enough to earn that one seed. They've done a really good job of just bringing new talent in there every year and providing consistent results. So hats off to their coach. They've been just a really dynamic team in this sim every season. And then finally, the final number one overall seed comes from the East region, and it is St. Joseph's out of the Atlantic 10. They earned the automatic bid, and they have a strength of roster of 11. So this one is a little bit of a surprise just in terms of preseason expectations, but still expected to be a really good team in the preseason. They finished with a record of 28-3. They have their three losses come to North Carolina, Penn State, and VCU. So again, no bad losses there. Penn State was a top 10 team at the time. North Carolina was number one basically all season. And then VCU was another really strong team from the A-10. And then they have ranked wins over Gonzaga, Michigan, and Dayton. So really strong resume. They just basically overwhelmed me with wins, 28-3. And then their roster makeup is also really interesting. They have four freshmen, one sophomore, and three juniors. So I would expect to see potentially a player to go to the draft without really researching the roster too much, haven't dug into the roster too much. But they have a chance to bring every single player back from their team, which, like I said, just earned a one seed. So this is really exciting for St. Joe's out of the A-10. So those are your four number one seeds you have as a quick recap. North Carolina from the South, or sorry. Yeah, North Carolina from the South, Michigan State from the Midwest, Arizona from the West, and St. Joe's from the East. So let's get into the bracket reveal now. We will start with the South region, where your number one overall seed is North Carolina, like I just said. They will be facing the winner of this matchup between 16 seeds Brown, the automatic qualifier from the Ivy League, and Fairleigh Dickinson, the automatic qualifier from the Northeast Conference. The winner of that matchup between the 16 seed and North Carolina will face the winner of the 8 seed Chattanooga from the SoCon. They earned an at-large bid, and they will face South Carolina, the 9 seed, who also earned an at-large out of the SEC. So the SoCon gets an at-large bid early on. That's exciting. That was expected, but exciting to see from my perspective of being a member of that conference. So happy for them. And then, like I said, they'll face South Carolina. Moving down the bracket, the number 5 seed is Iowa from the Big Ten. They earned an at-large bid, and they will face the winner of a first four matchup between 12 seeds Texas from the Big 12, an at-large earner, and Portland from the WCC, another at-large bid. Moving down the bracket, we have 4-seeded Dayton from the A10. They are in an at-large bid. They will take on 13-seed Holy Cross, the automatic qualifier from the Patriot League. Next, 6-seed Kansas State comes from the Big 12. They're in the automatic bid, and they will face the 11-seeded Illinois State from the Missouri Valley Conference. They earned an at-large bid. They will face the winner of 3-seeded Utah, an at-large bid from the Pac-12, versus 14-seed Louisiana Monroe, the automatic qualifier from the Sun Belt Conference. Next, we have 7-seeded Baylor from the Big 12, an at-large bid. They take on 10-seeded Duke, an at-large bid from the ACC. And the winner of that game will face the winner of number 2-seed Florida, an at-large from the SEC, versus number 15-seed Texas A&M Corpus Christi, an automatic bid from the Southland Conference. So that is your South region. This one's a great region. You have Duke, you have North Carolina, so that matchup, Duke's a 10 seed, so it's a little bit of a long shot to see it in the Elite Eight, but it would be fantastic to see that matchup, obviously, just from the rivalry perspective. But looking at the matchups a little closer, Chattanooga and South Carolina, the 8-9, those matchups are always fun. South Carolina's 37th in strength of roster, Chattanooga's 48th. Iowa's the 5 seed, has a strength of roster of 8 in the country. So they will be a handful for North Carolina potentially in the Sweet 16 if we're looking ahead. And then Utah, the 3 seed, is number 5 in strength of roster. So again, very strong there. Florida, the 2 seed, is 10th in strength of roster. So you've got some really strong teams in this region. That's 4 top 10 teams in strength of roster. So that's a really, really strong region. But it's kind of evenly balanced between the top half and the bottom half. So there's not really one team that has a particularly tough path versus any other team in this region. And then another interesting note, Duke is the 10 seed. Like I said, they play Baylor. Baylor's the 7 seed. They have a strength roster of 40 versus Duke's, who's 21st. So as a 10 seed, to have a strength roster of 21 is pretty remarkable, and they're gonna make things really tough for Baylor in that first matchup. But then also looking ahead, if they do advance, they could take on Florida, and they wouldn't be too much of an underdog against 2-seeded Florida. So that would be really interesting. It'd be a great game. And then Kansas State, the 6 seed, they have a strength roster of 15. So just another strong team. This is a really really good region. But again, just kind of top heavy with those 4 teams that are all top 10, but at least they're evenly balanced through the top and the bottom half of the region. So moving down the bracket, let's move to the East region, starting with your number 1 seed, St. Joe's from the Atlantic 10, the automatic qualifier. They will take on 16-seed Winthrop, the automatic qualifier from the Big South. The winner of that game will take on 8-seed Kent State, the automatic bid from the MAC, versus number 9 seed Wisconsin, an at-large bid from the Big Ten. Next, number 5 seed is Villanova from the Big East Conference. They are in the automatic bid, and they will take on 12-seeded Rutgers, an at-large bid from the Big Ten. The winner of that game will take on Oregon, the 4 seed from the Pac-12, an at-large bid, or the winner of Massachusetts or from the A10, an at-large bid, or Florida State, an at-large bid from the ACC. Next, the number 6 seed is VMI from the SoCon. They are in the automatic bid, so that's the second SoCon team. They will take on 11-seed Boston College, an at-large bid from the ACC. Next 3 seed is Butler. They're an at-large bid from the Big East, and they will take on 14-seeded Belmont to the automatic qualifier from the OVC. Moving down the bracket, we have 7-seeded California from the Pac-12, an at-large bid, taking on number 10 seed Temple, the automatic qualifier from the American Conference. Finally, 2 seed goes to Louisville, an at-large bid from the ACC, and they will take on 15-seeded Albany, the automatic qualifier from the American East Conference. So, looking at this region, little breakdown for you. Again, St. Joe's, the number one seed, comes in with a strength of roster of 11, which is actually the second best in this region, as Louisville's the two seed. They have a higher strength of roster with four. So that's notable going into it. And then a couple interesting notes. There are a couple surprising seeds where the lower seed will actually probably be the favorite. So the first one is in the 5-12 matchup, Villanova is the 5 seed and they have a strength of roster of 36, where Rutgers is the 12 seed. They have a strength roster of 27. So a 12 seed potentially favored over 5 there. And then in the 6-11 matchup, VMI's strength of roster is 65, Boston College's is 56. So the 11 seed will likely be a small favorite in that one as well. So that's that again, that's notable. But overall, this region, that only has the one top 10 team in strength of roster, and that is Louisville. No other team in the top 10 versus the last region we looked at had four of those teams. So this region in that regard could be wide open. You do have some teams that could definitely make Cinderella runs. If we are looking at that Rutgers team, a 12 seed with 27 strength of roster, Kent State is an 8 seed with their strength of roster of 28. They could definitely give St. Joe's trouble in the second round. Florida State, a 13 seed, has a strength of roster of 19. So if they get out of that first four matchup, they would be the favorite over Oregon, the 4 seed. So that's another really crazy matchup. And then potentially you could get a matchup between a 12 and 13 seed where Florida State would be the favorite in that game too, over Rutgers. So look for them to potentially make noise. And then 7-seeded Cal is also a very strong team. They're 13th in strength of roster. So while it's not as top heavy as the South region was that we just looked at, this region, there's a lot of teams that are lower seeded that are basically ripe for upsets as far as seeds are concerned. I don't think there'll be upsets on the books, but yeah, Cal, Boston College, Rutgers, Florida State, those are all teams that you could look for if you're looking for a Cinderella team to predict in your mat in your bracket for the bracket challenge. So keep that in mind. But at this point, let's move on to the next region. We have the Midwest region. Again, your number one seed is Michigan State from the Big Ten Conference, and they will take on the winner of 16 seed Weber State from the Big Sky, the automatic qualifier, versus the automatic qualifier from the WAC, 16 seed Pepperdine. Next, we have 8 seed Loyola Chicago, who earned an at-large bid out of the Missouri Valley Conference, taking on number 9 seed Connecticut, an at-large bid earner from the American Conference. Moving down the bracket, we have 5-seeded Cincinnati, an at-large bid from the American Conference, taking on 12-seeded Minnesota, an at-large bid from the Big Ten Conference. The winner of that matchup will take on the winner of 4-seeded Seton Hall from the Big East, an at-large bid, versus number 13 seed Wright State, an automatic qualifier from the Horizon. Moving to the lower half of the bracket, for the Midwest region, we have the 6 seed, which goes to Valparaiso, the automatic qualifier from the Missouri Valley Conference, taking on 11-seeded Bowling Green, an at-large bid from the MAC. So good for the MAC getting another at-large bid there, Bowling Green. The winner of that matchup will take on the 3-seed Georgia Tech, an at-large bid from the ACC, or 14-seeded South Dakota, an automatic bid from the Summit League. The last two matchups for the Midwest region, we'll start with the 7 seed from an at-large earner from the ACC, Pittsburgh, who will take on an at-large bid from the Big Ten, 10-seeded Nebraska. So good for Nebraska. I'll touch on that in a second, but the winner of that matchup will take on 2-seeded Penn State, an at-large bid from the Atlantic 10, versus 15-seed Florida Atlantic, an automatic qualifier from Conference USA. So that is your Midwest region. Provide a quick breakdown of it now. I just wanted to touch on Nebraska really quick. Obviously, this is a team that in real life and in sim life has struggled to, compete in the Big Ten. Generally, Nebraska in the sim, they've dropped a couple prestige levels, or at least one, maybe two prestige levels in the time during the sim, and it's really no fault of, their coach. He's done whatever he can. He's been at a disadvantage the whole time. He's had a lower prestige school in a very tough conference. So they've racked up a lot of losses, but what they have done is they've developed a knack for landing top transfers, and they've used that to their advantage to try to bolster their roster. And now they find themselves in the Sim March Madness bracket. So good for Nebraska. Like I said, they will take on Pittsburgh. And then again, there are three matchups in this region as well where the lower seeded team it will be favored. So the first of those is in the 8-9 matchup. So not too much of a surprise there. Connecticut, the 9 seed, has a strength of roster of 9, and they will take on Loyola Chicago, whose strength of roster is 54. I know we talked about, or it was mentioned on Discord, that Connecticut's coach is falling off the sim next season. He won't be Connecticut's coach, and it sounds like a lot of their struggles this year were just due to him, his lack of attention to the sim. So for them to get a 9 seed kind of shows just how good they are. The fact that they were still able to earn a way into the bracket without their coach being all that active. But what it does is it really provides a tough challenge for Michigan State in the second round, should we get that matchup. So that's kind of unfortunate for Michigan State, but just pretty remarkable that Connecticut is a 9 seed with a strength of roster of 9. And as I say that, looking down in the 5-12 matchup, we have Cincinnati versus Minnesota. Cincinnati's had a really strong year, at-large bid from the American, 20th strength of roster in the country. They earn a 5 seed, have to be happy about that. And then they hear their matchup and they get placed with Minnesota, who has the 7th strongest roster in the entire country. I mean, the Big Ten is just an absolute gauntlet. So they picked up a number of losses along the way, but that roster is super strong and definitely capable of making a very deep run in this tournament. Looking at the strength of rosters, they're actually the second best team in this region behind Michigan State. So the 12 seed being the second best team is just absolutely unbelievable, and really it just is going to make things even tougher on Michigan State, because that would be a potential Sweet 16 matchup for them. And then another matchup where that's the case is in a 4-13 matchup. Seton Hall is the 4 seed from the Big East. They have a strength of roster of 44. They're taking on 13 seeded Wright State, who has a strength of roster of 26. And really, this is just a case of, Seton Hall is in a tougher conference. They had more of an opportunity to build that resume. And Wright State, coming from the Horizon, doesn't have that same opportunity every night out. So, they weren't able to build the resume, but their roster on paper is stronger than Seton Hall's, and so it's not really a matchup that Seton Hall can be thrilled about in the first round. Really, just an absolute brutal draw for Seton Hall, just as a whole, because they earned a 4 seed, but they'll be underdogs in their first round matchup. Their second round matchup would come against either Cincinnati or Minnesota, both of whom they would be the underdog against. And then if they manage to win that one, most likely they'd be playing Michigan State or Connecticut, and they'd be the underdog in that one. So to earn a 4 seed and still be the underdog in each of your first three matchups, almost regardless of who they come against, is just really unfortunate for Seton Hall. Happy for them that they were able to earn that high seed, but they did not get rewarded with much of a with a great path at all. That's going to be really tough for them to overcome, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. That region's going to be kind of wide open, or that half of the Midwest region. And then the bottom half is a little bit more straightforward. Valparaiso as the 6, Georgia Tech as the 3, Pittsburgh as the 7, and Penn State as the 2 are all going to be favored in those matchups. And I would expect them to win those games. Nebraska and Pittsburgh will be a pretty close line. And then Bowling Green could definitely give Valparaiso some trouble, but Valpo is a very strong team, 14th in strength of roster. And that's a team that, just looking at that bottom half, you have Penn State's the 2 seed, 12 strength of roster. Valparaiso is the 6 seed, 14 strength of roster. Georgia Tech is a 3 seed, 16 strength of roster. So those three teams basically pick from a hat which one of those is going to make the Elite Eight. That would be my guess. Okay, so let's move on. I'll cover these regions. I probably went a little deeper there than I intended to right now, but let's move out down to the West region. Apologize for all the anxiety I'm building for any of those Allard bids that are you're waiting on, but let's move on to the West region. Close this thing out. Close the bracket out at least. So the one seed, as I mentioned before, is your Arizona Wildcats from the Pac-12. They will take on the 16 seed. From the Atlantic Sun, the automatic qualifier, the Citadel. So congratulations to the Citadel. They switched over to the ASUN. They switched with my club, Liberty from the SoCon. They went from the cellar, bottom couple teams in the SoCon and moved to the ASUN where they won the conference tournament as well in their first season, and they earned a March Madness bid. So happy for them to be able to achieve that success in their first year in the ASUN. Moving to the next matchup, we have eight seed from the Mountain West and at-large earner San Diego State. They will take on nine seed from the American Conference and at-large earner Tulane. Next, we have a five seed from the Big Ten at-large bid Michigan. They will take on 12 seeded Delaware, an automatic bid from the MEAC. Next, we have four seed Monmouth, automatic qualifier from the MAAC, and they will take on 13 seed Drexel, the automatic qualifier from the Colonial Athletic Association. And then moving to the lower half of the region, we have the six seed Georgia, an at-large bid from the SEC, taking on 11 seed Washington, an at-large bid from the Pac-12. They will take on the winner of that game will take on three seed UNLV, an automatic qualifier from the Mountain West Conference, or 14 seed Long Beach State, the automatic qualifier from the Big West. Next, we have seven seed Texas A&M, the automatic qualifier from the SEC, taking on 10 seeded Fresno State, an at-large earner from the Mountain West Conference. And then finally, we have two seed Gonzaga, the automatic qualifier from the WCC, taking on 15 seed Arkansas Pine Bluff, the automatic qualifier from the SWAC. So that is your West region, and that does wrap up the bracket. But just to touch on the West region briefly for a second here, this region only has one matchup where the lower seeded team is rated higher, and that's in the 6-11 matchup. Georgia is the sixth seed. They have a strength of roster of 25. Washington is the 11th seed. Their strength of roster is 22. Excuse me. So that matchup will basically be even on the line. So a little bit of an unfortunate draw for Georgia there. You have a really strong three seed UNLV as a strength of roster of six. And then your 5-12 matchup will be extremely even as well. Michigan is 31st in strength of roster as the five seed, and Delaware is 35th in strength roster as the 12 seed. A lot of these are otherwise are looking relatively chalky. San Diego State versus Tulane, San Diego State 38 versus 63 for Tulane in strength of roster. Monmouth is 17th in strength of roster versus 111th for Drexel. UNLV is 6th versus 14th seed Long Beach State's 70th. Texas A&M's 18th versus Fresno State's 90th. So yeah, I mean, pretty chalky in the West region, other than that, those 5-12 and 6-11 matchups where you're basically the lines will basically be even. So if you're gonna pick up a Cinderella from this region, that's kind of where I would look. I would look at either, Washington or Delaware. But yeah, I think likely the heavy favorite in this region will be Arizona. UNLV, should they get there, could definitely give them problems in the Elite Eight. But those would kind of be the two teams I'll look at in this region. So that is your full March Madness bracket, all 68 teams. Congratulations to the teams that made it this year. It was an abbreviated season a little bit. At least it was on turbo, like we've heard it be called. So yeah, still exciting for your teams to get in there, and we'll good luck to you all throughout the tournament. But let's move into a couple of different things I want to touch on, kind of to break down the bracket. So the first one is the conference breakdown, and so I'll start with the conferences that had the most bids, and so I'm just going to touch on every conference that had multiple bids in the tournament, multiple teams that made the tournament. So I'll start from the conferences that had the most. And so the conferences that had the most, the first is the ACC with seven bids. They had 1 seed North Carolina, 2 seed Louisville, 3 seed Georgia Tech, 7 seed Pittsburgh, 10 seed Duke, 11 seed Boston College, and 13 seed Florida State. So seven teams from the ACC. That's really good. They had, five of those teams are top 21 in strength of roster. So really strong. Definitely a lot of opportunity for the ACC to make a ton of noise in this bracket. Next, we have the Big Ten with 7 seeds as well. They have a 1 seed Michigan State, 5 seed Iowa, 5 seed Michigan, 9 seed Wisconsin, 10 seed Nebraska, 12 seed Minnesota, 12 seed Rutgers. Yeah, this is interesting because they have the 1 seed, but then they don't have any 2, 3, or 4s, but they still have some really strong teams. I mean, Iowa, like I mentioned, is a 5 seed, but they have a strength of roster of 8. Minnesota is a 12 seed, strength of roster of 7. Rutgers, a 12 seed, strength of roster of 27. So I mean, those are really strong teams. Michigan's strength roster is 31st as a 5 seed, and then Wisconsin and Nebraska, 9 and 10 seeds. Both of their strength rosters are 50 or higher. So definitely some opportunity for the Big Ten to make some deeper runs, but their seeds aren't that impressive, and I think it's largely just because of the cannibalization that happens in the Big Ten with as many really strong teams as there are. So the next conference, the third most bids goes to the Pac-12. They had 5 bids, 1 seed Arizona, 3 seed Utah, 4 seed Oregon, 7 seed Cal, and 11 seed Washington. Arizona and Utah are 3 and 5 in strength of roster respectively. So both of those teams really strong candidates to make a Final Four run. And then Cal, strength roster of 13 as a 7 seed, Washington strength roster of 22 as an 11. So those very strong teams, a couple opportunities for Cinderellas too coming from the Pac-12. Moving to the Atlantic 10, they are next. They earned 4 bids, starting with St. Joe's obviously gets the 1 seed. Penn State gets a 2 seed. Obviously a new Atlantic 10 member this year. They switched with George Washington, and then 4 seed Dayton, 13 seed Massachusetts. So I really do think adding Penn State to this conference, really, especially with how strong Penn State is right now, it really legitimizes the conference, and I think in the eyes of the selection committee, just gave them the confidence that this is the teams at the top of this conference are the real deal, and that's why you see once a 1 seed, a 2 seed, and a 4 seed for the Atlantic 10 in 4 bids overall. So really impressive year for the Atlantic 10. I think Penn State, while that move was a little confusing to some at first, I think that's a really good move for the A10 as a whole, and I think it's going to definitely move it to a little bit closer of being one of the Power Six conferences. It's certainly moving in that direction right now. The next conference we're looking at is the American. They have 4 bids as well. They have 5 seed Cincinnati, 9 seed Connecticut, 9 seed Tulane, 10 seed Temple. And so this is really interesting. It kind of just goes to show you the difference between having an active coach versus an inactive coach. And what I mean is you have Connecticut and Tulane both earning 9 seeds, and Connecticut's strength of roster is 9, Tulane's is 63. So both of those were at-large earners. Tulane, their coach is active. They're in a 9 seed. Connecticut's coach inactive. They both end up in the same line, even though their teams are vastly different on paper. So kind of just goes to show you how important it is to fill out those forms. You just keep active with the sim if you want to have success come March. So moving to the SEC, they're the next. They also have 4 teams that made the tournament. 2 seed Florida, 6 seed Georgia, 7 seed Texas A&M, 9 seed South Carolina. Really strong teams. Florida is 10th in SOR, Georgia is 25th, Texas A&M is 18th, South Carolina is 37th. Those are your SEC teams. Next, we have 4 different conferences that had 3 bids each, the first of which is the Big 12. So Kansas State was the automatic qualifier. They are in the sixth seed. Baylor at a seven seed. Texas at a 12 seed. The next is the Big East. They had a 3-4-5 seed. Butler, Seton Hall, Villanova, respectively. So really, really top heavy season for the Big East. They only get three bids, but they each have top five seeds. So those teams did really well in conference, earned high seeds in the tournament. The next conference with three bids was the Missouri Valley, six seed Valparaiso, eight seed Loyola Chicago, 11 seed Illinois State. Valparaiso's strength roster is 14, so as a six seed, the Valley gave them some good opportunity for some strong wins, able to get them a six seed, which is, maybe even a little underseeded for their roster. But again, Loyola Chicago, Illinois State, both really strong teams from the Valley that made the tournament as well. And then next we have the Mountain West Conference, three seed UNLV, eight seed San Diego State, 10 seed Fresno State. UNLV is definitely a dark horse Final Four team with a strength of roster of six in the country. Finally, we have three teams with two bids each that made it. So we have the MAC earning two bids. They have an eight seed Kent State, 11 seed Bowling Green. And then we have the SoCon. They had two bids as well, six seed VMI, eight seed Chattanooga. And then finally, we have the WCC, two seed Gonzaga, and 12 seed Portland. So, congratulations to all every conference that got multiple bids, especially those mid-major, lower major conferences that got those, like the Atlantic 10, like the American, the Missouri Valley, the Mountain West, the MAC, the SoCon, and the WCC. It might not be too long before I can't really call the Atlantic 10 a mid-major conference anymore. I know overall they were stronger than the Big 12 this season, but I want to see that a little bit more consistently before we just declare that a better conference as a whole as the Big 12. I want to make sure that one time is not just a blip on the radar before I do that. But I mean, yeah, this season they got four teams, Big 12 got three. They got four teams. The Big East got three. So, yeah, they got more bids than a couple power conferences, as did the American. So those two conferences, the Atlantic 10 and the American, making their way up the ranks in terms of conference strength. But the Missouri Valley, the Mountain West, both getting three, very impressive there as well. And then, like I said, the MAC, SoCon, and WCC getting two is strong as well. And those conferences are all on the rise as well. So at this point, let's move into a little bit more region analysis for you guys. And so I'll start with the South region. And what I kind of want to do here is, again, I've laid out for myself the best teams at each seed line, the worst teams at each seed line, and I'll touch on all those now, and a couple just as well as a couple other minor notes about each region. So from the South region, there are five teams in this region that are the best teams on their seed line. So basically what I mean is, if you're looking at strength of roster, and you compare the seed in this region, so for example, the one seed North Carolina to the other number one seeds in the other regions, there are five teams in this region that are the best on their seed line. So, and those five teams are North Carolina, strength of roster of one, seed one. The next is the three seed Utah, strength of roster of five, best three seed in the bracket. The next is five seed Iowa, strength of roster of eight, best five seed in the whole bracket. And then you have 10 seed Duke with a strength of roster of 21, by far the best 10 seed in the bracket. And then 15 seed Texas A&M Corpus Christi is easily the best 15 seed in the bracket. So that's unfortunate for Florida, who faces them in the first round, but you would hope Florida still has enough to get past them. And then there are two teams in this region that are the worst teams on their seed line, and that is seven seed Baylor with a strength of roster of 40, and 12 seeded Texas with a strength roster of 82. So Iowa, the five seed, is the best five seed in strength roster, and they get the worst 12 seed. Well, Texas does have to face Portland in the first in the first four. So potentially Texas will not get past that game anyway, but theoretically Iowa could get the worst 12 as the best five. So interesting to note there. But yeah, this region we like touched on, kind of top heavy, four teams in the top 10 strength of roster, but balanced in the top and bottom half of the region. But the bottom half does also have Kansas State with a strength of roster of 15 and Duke with a 21st strength of roster. So the bottom half is stronger in that way. You have a couple more teams that could definitely make some noise. But overall, I can't imagine North Carolina is overly thrilled. We'll look more at what their path to the Final Four could look like in a little bit, but I can't imagine they're too excited. That's a really strong region at the top with four teams in the top 10 strength roster and five in the top 15 for that matter. So let's move on to the East region. This is St. Joseph's region. You have four teams in this region who are the best at their seed line. You have Louisville, the best two seed, strength of roster of four. California, the best seven seed, strength of roster of 13. Kent State, the best eight seed, strength of roster of 28. And then Florida State, the best 13 seed, strength of roster of 19. And then you have five teams in this region with the that are the worst team at their seed line, starting with the one seed St. Joe's. We touched on that, but easily the worst one seed in terms of strength of roster. Then you have three seed Butler, strength of roster of 39, easily the worst three seed. And then five seed Villanova is the worst five seed, strength of roster of 36. Six seed VMI follows suit with a strength of roster of 65. And actually, the second worst six seed is Georgia with a strength roster of 25. So that's a pretty crazy difference. VMI really overachieved this season. They won some really tough games. They were able to win the SoCon tournament beating Chattanooga. So that definitely bolstered their resume and earned them a six seed. But they are the worst six seed, and they will be an underdog in that first round matchup, like we touched on against Boston College. And then finally, Belmont is also the worst team on their seed line at the 14 seed with a strength roster of 118. Yeah, like I mentioned before, there's one team in the top 10 of strength of roster in this region. But there are some very dangerous teams. Rutgers as a 12 seed is 27th. Kent State's 28th as an 8. Cal 13th as a 7. So definitely, this is a region where I would definitely be looking to make your Cinderella predictions if you want to have lower seeds make a deep run, a Sweet 16, Elite Eight run in your bracket. Next, we have the Midwest region. We have four teams with the that are the best at their seed line. And the first one of those comes at number six, Valparaiso. They're 14th in strength of roster, best six seed in the bracket. Number nine seed, Connecticut, is ninth in strength of roster. They're the best nine seed. 12 seed, Minnesota, is the best 12 seed with a strength of roster of seven. And then Weber State at 141 in strength of roster is the best 16 seed. And there are four teams with the worst strength of roster or that are the worst on their seed line, starting with Seton Hall at the four seed, strength of roster 44, Loyola Chicago, the eight seed, strength of roster 54, Bowling Green, the 11 seed, strength of roster 58, and then Florida Atlantic, the 15 seed, strength of roster of 136. Finally, let's move to the West region. There are three teams that are the best on their seed line in this region. That's four seed Monmouth, strength of roster of 17. 11 seed Washington, strength of roster of 22, and then 14 seed Long Beach State, strength of roster of 70. And then there are one, two, three, four, five teams that are the worst on their seed line in this region. Number two seed Gonzaga, 24th in strength of roster. Nine seed Tulane, 63rd in strength of roster. 10 seed Fresno State, 90th in strength of roster. 13 seed Drexel, 111 in strength of roster. And 16 seed the Citadel with a strength of roster of 231. So that kind of sets up promisingly for Arizona, but we will touch on that here as I'm going to now. As I mentioned kind of at the beginning of the podcast, I wanted to look at the top one, or the one and two seeds and kind of look at what their potential path to the Final Four would look like. And what I wanted to do is, what would it look like if, assuming the better teams won every matchup? So, assuming this is the toughest toughest path for each of these teams to make the Final Four? What would it look like, and you know, who has a more favorable path versus who has a more difficult path? So, starting with North Carolina, this would be the toughest path they have to the Final Four. We'd start with 16 seed Fairleigh Dickinson, then it would go to South Carolina, 37th strength of roster. Iowa would be in the Sweet 16, with a strength of roster of 8, and then Utah with in the Elite Eight with a strength of roster of 5. So certainly those Sweet 16 and Elite Eight matchups would be really tough. But overall, it can't be too disappointed. I mean, it's tough. The first two matchups are really favorable for North Carolina, so getting to the Sweet 16 should be no issue. But then those next two are going to be really tough, especially back to back. Having one of those wouldn't be ideal, but two of them back to back is even worse. But yeah, I mean, Iowa's the second best team that a one seed would have to potentially play in the Sweet 16, and Utah is the second best team that a one seed would potentially have to play in the Elite Eight. So not ideal for North Carolina in that perspective, but not the toughest path, I don't think. I'll touch on that shortly. St. Joseph's path to the Final Four starts with Winthrop, 211 in strength of roster. Then it would be Kent State with the 8 seed strength of roster, 28. Then Florida State, which 13 seed strength of roster of 19, and then Louisville's strength of roster of 4, the 2 seed. So pretty favorable path for St. Joe's, especially when you consider the fact that Florida State would have to win a first four game, win a round of 64 game, win a third round game to get to the Sweet 16, where they would potentially play St. Joe's. So they have to win an extra game. So there's an even better chance that St. Joe's wouldn't have to play them. But if Florida State can get there, that would be the toughest matchup on paper for them. So overall, not a terrible path for St. Joe's. The number one seed Michigan State, their path starts with 16 seed Weber State, 141 in strength of roster. And then you have 9 seed Connecticut, strength of roster of 9. Then you'd have 12 seed Minnesota, strength of roster of 7, and then 2 seed Penn State, strength of roster of 12. So, oof. I mean, the 16 seed is the toughest 16 seed. The 9 seed would be the toughest second round matchup for any one seed. And then Minnesota in the Sweet 16 would be the toughest Sweet 16 matchup for any one seed. So that's the first three matchups for Michigan State would be the absolute toughest. And then if they manage to get through all three of those, Penn State in the Elite Eight would be the weakest potential Elite Eight matchup that these one seeds would have to face. But that's still, I mean, that's pretty brutal, because their chances of getting there are a lot slimmer than they typically would be. But man, that's a tough stretch. Looking at Arizona's path, starts with 16 seed the Citadel, strength of roster of 231. 8 seed San Diego State would be their second round matchup with a strength of roster of 38. 4 seed Monmouth would be their Sweet 16 matchup, strength of roster of 17. And UNLV, their Elite Eight matchup, the 3 seed, strength of roster of 6. So overall, not too bad. I don't think Arizona can complain. Their first two matchups are the weakest for the one seeds at those levels. So it should be smooth sailing to the Sweet 16. Monmouth is tough. But not one of the tougher matchups that a one seed would get in the Sweet 16. And then same for UNLV. Very UNLV is obviously really tough, but North Carolina and St. Joe's would both have potentially tougher matchups in the Elite Eight than that. So Arizona's got to be really pleased with their path to the Final Four. So yeah, that those are the one seeds. I'll touch on the two seeds now. For two seed Florida, their path starts with 15 seed Texas A&M Corpus Christi, 76 overall strength of roster. Then it would be 10 seed Duke, strength of roster of 21. Then 3 seed Utah, strength of roster of 5, and then finally in the Elite Eight, it would be North Carolina, strength of roster of 1. And Florida, just looking at, there's how it compares to other two seeds. They have the toughest 15 seed matchup. They would have the toughest Sweet 16 matchup if they do in fact play Utah. And then they would have the toughest Elite Eight matchup, obviously, with North Carolina. So probably the toughest path for a two seed goes to Florida, unfortunately. Like I said, for the one seed, it was Michigan State. But let's move to the next one. Louisville, the two seed, they start with number 15 seed Albany, strength of roster of 106. They would then play Cal, seven seed, strength of roster of 13. Then three seed Butler, strength of roster of 39, and St. Joe's, the one seed, strength of roster of 11. So this one actually might be the easiest path for any two seed. They assuming they can get past Cal, because Cal in the second round is going to be really tough with that 13th strongest roster. But if they get past those, the next two matchups, Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, would be the easiest matchups for any two seed at both of those levels. So very favorable stretch to get to the Final Four for Louisville. And then the next one is Penn State, two seed. They start with 15 seed Florida Atlantic, 136 strength of roster. Then they would play fifth or seven seed Pittsburgh, 32 strength of roster. Then they would play six seed Valparaiso, 14th strength of roster. And then in the Elite Eight, they would play Michigan State, second in strength of roster. So their path to the Sweet 16 isn't too bad. They get the easiest 15 seed matchup. They get the easiest second round matchup with Pittsburgh, and then things get a little bit more difficult, but still not an overly unfavorable path for Penn State to get there, especially when you consider the fact that Michigan State would be their Elite Eight matchup with the second strongest roster, but Michigan State has the toughest path to the Final Four, or especially to get to the Elite Eight. So there's a real chance that they wouldn't get there. And so Penn State could potentially get an even smoother path to the Final Four. And then finally, the final two seed, I want to touch on their path, is Gonzaga. They start with 15 seed Arkansas Pine Bluff, strength of roster of 112. Then they would face 7 seed Texas A&M, strength of roster of 18. Then they would play 3 seed UNLV, strength of roster of 6, and 1 seed Arizona, strength of roster of 3. So tough path, but relatively even across the board in terms of they don't have any easiest matchups at any level for a two seed, but they don't have any of the toughest matchups either. So this is kind of a path you would expect to see a team get. It progressively gets tougher, obviously. But yeah, I think with Arizona's path, taking into consideration the fact that Gonzaga will almost definitely be facing Arizona in the Elite Eight, that's where things get really tough, if Gonzaga can't even get that far. Because really looking at their path, I forgot to note Gonzaga's strength roster is 24. So they would actually be the underdog in the second round, the Sweet 16, and the Elite Eight. So in that regard, their path is really difficult. If they were a stronger roster on paper, it wouldn't be horrible for a two seed to get this path. But the fact that they kind of overachieved with their roster, earn the seed, but now they're gonna have to be an underdog potentially three rounds in a row after the first round, makes their path really, really difficult. So kind of an unfavorable setup for them there. So yeah, that kind of covers the paths to the Final Four. And based on kind of looking at those, I was able to come up with my Final Four predictions. And so what I'll kind of end the episode with those. And so I'll start with the South region. I had one seed North Carolina, and I have them taking on two seed Louisville in the from the East. And then I took Valparaiso from the Midwest, a six seed, and I took Arizona from the West. Excuse me, the one seed, and really Valparaiso I took because from the Midwest because we talked about how tough Michigan State's path to the Final Four was as the one seed. And Penn State's path is a little easier, but they would have to play Valparaiso potentially in the Sweet 16, and they're based, well, those teams are basically even on paper. And so I kind of like having a little bit of a dark horse in the Final Four every year, and Valparaiso I think is the one that really fits the bill this year, especially, looking at their first round matchup, they play Bowling Green, 58 in strength roster. Then they would play Georgia Tech, who is the 3 seed, but a slight underdog to Valpo. And then Valpo would likely be a very slight underdog to Penn State. So I like their chances to get to the Elite Eight. And when they get there, I don't necessarily expect that they'll play Michigan State because of how tough Michigan State's path is. And because of how tough the path is for basically every team on the top half of that bracket or the top half of that region, I didn't really want to have to choose between any of those, Michigan State or Minnesota or Connecticut. So I just decided to go with Valparaiso. That's kind of my rationale for that pick. And then my champion, I took a little bit of an upset. I took Louisville over North Carolina in the Final Four, and they will take on Arizona, who I had beating Valparaiso. And then I took Louisville over Arizona in the championship. Arizona is the better team probably on paper, just slightly actually. But I wanted to see a new champion, a new champion this season. So that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pick Louisville over over Arizona. It's gonna be tough for them in the Final Four if this is the result, because they would get three, or they would get North Carolina, who's the best roster, and then they would get Arizona, who's the third best roster. But yeah, I want to see a new champion. I think Louisville has a good opportunity to do that, given their path to the Final Four. But things obviously get a lot tougher once they get there. So, okay, that kind of wraps up all the breakdown, all the analysis I have for this season of the March of the Heat Check Sim. That's season six. This is your March Madness bracket reveal episode. Again, congratulations to everyone that made the tournament. Good luck in the tournament. Good luck to those teams that, didn't hear their name in this one, but will likely be really good NIT teams. The NIT is always really wild, so I always am curious to see how that plays out as well. That bracket will be coming out tonight as well. So if you didn't hear your name here, look forward to potentially seeing your name when that comes out later tonight. But again, that's all I have for now. So until next time, see you later.